my name is Sue Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. This hour we have program, Let's Read the Bible, which will help us learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a devotional program for teenagers called A Lot. Next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Today is the last time for 2 Timothy in Let's Read the Bible. What would the last content of Paul's letter for his beloved spiritual son, Timothy, be about? Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 together. I give you a command in the sight of God and Christ Jesus. Christ will judge the living and the dead. Because he and his kingdom are coming, here is the command I give you. Preach the word. Be ready to serve God in good times and bad. Correct people's mistakes, warn them, cheer them up with words of hope. Be very patient as you do these things. Teach them carefully. The last message that Apostle Paul gives to his beloved Timothy is to spread the word of God. He says to use strength to spread the word continuously in both good and bad times. Why should we always have to spread the word of God? Apostle Paul gives us the reason in verses 3 and 4. The time will come when people won't put up with true teaching. Instead, they will try to satisfy their own longings. They will gather a large number of teachers around them. The teachers will say what the people want to hear. The people will turn their ears away from the truth. They will turn to stories that aren't completely true. He says that people will stop listening to messages that lead them to eternal life. Instead, they will listen to messages that make them happy and look for people that say words that they want to hear. This is why we should use our strength and abilities to bring them back to the truth by being patient, teaching them, and reproaching them when necessary. The Apostle Paul's wish was for the people to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Paul had everything he had to complete this task from the moment he was saved. Now, because he knew how much of his life was left, he asked another faithful disciple, Timothy, to do it with the hope that the word of Christ that will give us life will continue to be passed on without ceasing. I hope that we look back to see how our lives are. Do we desperately want to spread the word of Jesus, which gives us life, to those who need it? Do you want to spread the word because we sincerely want to do it? When the last moment of your life approaches, will you be able to confess that you fought a good fight, finished the path you ran on, and protected your faith like Apostle Paul? If you want this, we will have to fight the good fight of faith in our lives starting today without any regrets. I hope that we all have the grace to confess on our last day that we have maintained our faith without any regrets. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just like the Apostle Paul, let us just fight our good fight, finish the path that we run on, and live a life of keeping our faith starting today. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Elia E. from California will read the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 through 22 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Elliot Yee, I'm 13 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verses 1 through 22. Let's read the Bible. I give you a command in the sight of God and Christ Jesus. Christ will judge the living and the dead. Because he and his kingdom are coming, here is the command I give you. Preach the word. Be ready to serve God in good times and bad. Correct people's mistakes. Warn them. Encourage them with words of hope. Be very patient as you do these things. Teach them carefully. The time will come when people won't put up with true teaching. Instead, they will try to satisfy their own desires. They will gather a large number of teachers around them. The teachers will say what the people want to hear. The people will turn their ears away from the truth. They will turn to stories that aren't true. But I want you to keep your head no matter what happens. Don't give up when times are hard. Work to spread the good news. Do everything God has given you to do. I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time when I will leave is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's a crown waiting for me. It is given to those who are right with God. The Lord, who judges fairly, will give it to me on the day he returns. He will not give it only to me. He will also give it to all those who are longing for him to return. Do your best to come to me quickly. Demas has deserted me. He has gone to Thessalonica. He left me because he loved this world. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. He helps me in my work for the Lord. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring my coat. I left it with Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books. Most of all, bring the ones made out of animal skins. Remember Alexander, the one who works with metal. He did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will pay him back for what he has done. You too should watch out for him. He strongly opposed our message. The first time I was put on trial, no one came to help me. Everyone deserted me. I hope they will be forgiven for it. The Lord stood at my side. He gave me the strength to preach the whole message. Then all the Gentiles heard it. I was saved from the lion's mouth. The Lord will save me from every evil attack. He will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Give him glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet those who live in the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth. I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you. So does Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. May the Lord be with your spirit. May God's grace be with you all. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to read your word today. Like Paul, help strengthen us to fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Help us keep our mindset only on you and the crown waiting for us. Remind us that you will save us with your mighty hand, just as you did for Paul when he preached the whole message to the Gentiles. And Father, may we always give you the glory forever and ever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
following is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here's the first episode.
Can you think of someone you struggle to see eye to eye with? As a Christian, how might you share the gospel with that person? With the care and love Jesus shows you. Hey there, Andrew here, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. In a world that's so divided over so many differences, how can we share the truth? That's the question that Michelle Eisenhoff, the author of our devotion, is going to answer in our devotion today, So Many Differences. Have you ever wondered how you can reach that one person with the gospel? The one with a different political affiliation, religion, or otherwise different worldview? I have. I know I can't move my friend toward God. Only he can draw him. But sometimes I don't even know where to start talking. Our differences are so great. Jesus faced a similar situation when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. Samaria was once part of Israel's northern kingdom that was later wiped out by Assyria. The Assyrians habitually moved conquered residents out, scattered them, and repopulated the land with other displaced peoples. It was an effective means of quelling potential rebellions. By Jesus' day, any Jewish blood that may have survived the Assyrian conquest was muddied both in race and religion by intermarriage with Gentiles or non-Jewish people. The southern kingdom, by contrast, was conquered by Babylon and returned relatively intact after 70 years of exile. Therefore, Jews considered Samaritans half-breeds and heretics. Samaritans found Jews haughty and bigoted. Samaritans were also pro-Rome, while the Jews vehemently opposed Roman rule. To top it off, men and women weren't supposed to speak to each other in public at all. But when the Samaritan woman alluded to some of these differences, Jesus answered that they would all be largely irrelevant through his work on the cross. Their conversation is a beautiful picture of his forgiveness and hope that transcends human boundaries. Sometimes I need to remind myself that the one who changed the Samaritan woman's life still has the power to convict, to restore, to unite, and to change lives today. In a world of vastly differing points of view, that is an encouraging thought. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Can you think of someone you struggle to see eye to eye with? As a Christian, how might you share the gospel with that person, with the care and love Jesus shows you? If you need some help, check out 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 or 1 John 4:19. Speaking of 1 John 4:19, it says we love each other because he loved us first. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible John chapter 4, especially verses 1 through 43, the account of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener-supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate, you can do so by checking out the Giving tab in the Unlocked app or unlocked.org. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to be talking about how God is our refuge. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
Is the Bible one big mystery novel? Hey, it's Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. So, the Bible is one big story, beginning with a perfect world that fell because of sin. So, the big mystery we ask when we look at the Bible is, what is the solution to this problem going to be? It's what our story is about today. It's called Mystery Revealed, and it was written by Savannah Coleman. I don't know about you, but I love a good mystery. The allure of figuring out where that certain key item is hidden, the suspense of the unknown, the intrigue. And that's the cool thing about the book of Colossians. This letter to the church at Colossae centers on the solution to the greatest mystery of all. What was this long-hidden mystery revealed to the believers in Colossae, and to us as well? Spoiler alert, Jesus Christ is the mystery. Everything in the history of God's plan, all the Old Testament sacrifices, rules, prophets, and kings, were clues pointing to the way for us sinners to be made right with the God of the universe. Jesus is the solution. Everything God promised his people was fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he died for us on the cross to cancel our debt of sin that condemned us. From the time when humans first sinned, God had a plan to draw us to himself. He knew nothing we could do in our own power would be sufficient enough to grant us a right relationship and ultimately eternal life with him. So he sent us his son. When we put our trust in Jesus alone as the sacrifice for our sins, we have grasped the wealth of this mystery God has revealed to us, Christ in us. As Christians, we have hope that Jesus, our risen Savior, is with us always and will dwell with us forever. Colossians 2:2 says, "I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ." So let's talk about this. The whole Bible is the true story of how God is rescuing his people from sin and death, of bringing them back after sin separated them from him. It's a mystery story of how God would somehow bring salvation from sin and all the brokenness it brings. To learn more about Jesus, the one who was the answer to that mystery, who is a trusted Christian you can talk to about him? And do some reading on your own today, too. Check out Colossians 1:24 through chapter 2, verse 7, to keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked. Have you ever thought about writing for Unlocked? We have writer's guidelines on our website, unlocked.org. Check them out to find out how you can craft and submit a devotion of your own. We cannot wait to read what you come up with. And that's it for me. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life. From your hands, suffering.
Coming up next, children's Bible drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges version of children's Bible drama. Israel left God in sin by serving other gods again. This time, God used the Midianites to punish the Israelites. The Midianites joined forces with the surrounding Amalekites and eastern people to torment the Israelites for 7 years and prevented them from farming. The Israelites had almost nothing to eat and began to hide in mountains and caves. As life became difficult, the Israelites called upon God once again. God chose a new judge to save them. For this reason, God sent an angel to a region called Ophrah. There was a person named Gideon who was the son of Joash, and he was secretly threshing wheat in a winepress.
Oh, my back! It's so hard to secretly thresh wheat while bending over like this to hide it from the Midianites.
While Gideon was threshing wheat, God's angel came to where he was.
Oh, mighty warrior!
Oh, you scared me! When did you come? I'm sure no one was here. Where did you suddenly appear from?
God is with you.
God is with me? If God is with me, I wouldn't be bent over threshing wheat like this. Also, if God is with me, why has all this happened to us? Life has become so difficult because of the Midianites. Our ancestors said God saved them from Egypt, but why is he letting us suffer from the Midianites? God has abandoned us, so please don't say God is with me.
Gideon, this is why God sent me to you today. This is what God told me to tell you. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. I am sending you.
What? I have to save Israel? Who am I to save Israel? I belong to the tribe of Manasseh, and we are a weak tribe. Our land is divided by stones, so half of us live west of the Jordan River, and the other half live east of the Jordan River. We cannot join forces. Moreover, my household is the weakest among the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the weakest in my household. My brothers were brave, but they died while fighting the Midianites. I am a coward who ran away when my brothers died. How can I fight with the Midian? No, I cannot.
Gideon, you are not going into battle with your own strength. God will surely be with you. When you fight against the entire Midian army, you will win easily as if you were fighting against just one person. Therefore, do not worry. Trust God and obey his calling.
Is this true? I cannot believe it. If what you say is true, please give me a sign that God is with me. I will hurry and bring an offering for God. Please wait a moment.
Yes, I will show you a sign. Hurry and return. I will wait and not leave.
Gideon quickly went home, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out to the place where the angel was.
Oh, it's so heavy. Is he still there? Oh, yes, he's still here. I'm sorry it took so long. I had to prepare a young goat, and it took some time.
Since you asked for a sign, I will show you that God has sent me. Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth.
Ah, yes, yes, I will do so.
As the angel said, Gideon took the meat and the unleavened bread, placed them on the rock, and poured out the broth. The rock was wet from the broth, and the broth was dripping under the rock. Then the angel touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. The wet meat and bread all disappeared. Not only that, but the angel also disappeared. As Gideon requested, the angel showed a sign that he came from God. I'll see you next time from the Judges version of children's Bible drama. Goodbye.
Do you have any older brothers or sisters? Heart and Soul has a new devotional program for teenagers called Unlocked. If you have older brothers and sisters, help them spend time in God's Word with Unlocked Devotional from Keys for Kids.
Following is a program, Daily Devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
William Penn trusted the Native Americans in his new city, and they trusted him to do what he said too.
They could depend on each other just like you can depend on someone too.
Guess what? You're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. As always, I'm Zach. You might not think about it much, but where would you be without people that take care of you? Maybe it's your parents, your grandparents, or other trusted adults, but you depend on others to help you live and grow. God is perfectly dependable, too. It's just one of His many promises. If you're a Christian, He will provide for you, always be with you, and give you eternal life. There's a whole lot more promises in the Bible, but just remember Hebrews 10:23 for today. We must hold on to the hope we have. We can trust God to do what He promised. And now for our story. It's called A Measure of Faith. "Oh, look," said Emery as she and her brother Ezra toured Independence Hall with their family. She pointed to a plaque on the wall. "Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love," she read aloud. "I wonder why it's called that." "The city was founded by a man named William Penn," said Dad. "He was a devout Christian who started the settlement in this area as a kind of experiment in holy living. Peace, goodwill, and brotherly love were to be extended to everybody." Ezra nodded. "My class learned about William Penn in school." "Mine did too," said Emery. "I remember that William Penn was especially concerned about Indians being treated fairly." "Native Americans," Ezra corrected her. "Right, Native Americans," said Emery. "They trusted William Penn, and he trusted them too. When they promised to do something, they believed each other." "Yes," said Dad. "And for the most part, both he and the Native Americans were dependable. They kept the promises they made." Dad smiled at the kids. "I know of some even more dependable promises." "Yeah? Who made them?" Ezra asked. "Well, you tell me," said Dad. "Who is the most dependable of all?" "I know who you mean," said Emery. She grinned at her brother. "He's talking about Jesus." Ezra laughed. "I should have known. Let's see. One promise is that he'll give us everything we need. And, what else?" "That he's always with us," said Emery. "And that because of him, we have eternal life." Dad smiled. "That's right. God has given lots of promises, and we can depend on him to carry them out. We need to believe what he says. Take God at his word and act upon his promises." "Act upon them?" asked Ezra. "What does that mean?" "Well, for example, when Jesus says he'll provide everything we need, we should stop worrying and trust him to do that. And if we act on the promise that he's always with us, we can go to him for comfort and peace during difficult times. In other words, our actions and attitudes should show that we believe what he says." Emery nodded. "And that we can trust him to keep his promises." So how about you? Do you believe God when he promises something? Romans 8:28 says he'll work everything out for good in the lives of those who love him. So keep trusting him, even when things aren't going well. When you face a hard situation, remember Jesus' promise to always be with you. Believe his promises and act on them in the way you live your life. Our key verse is Hebrews 10:23.
We must hold on to the hope we have. We can trust God to do what he promised.
And our key thought, act on God's promises.
I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
Not sure God sent us to the right place. This is just a small town. There's hardly anyone here to help.
Don't worry. God knows exactly what he's doing. Trust him to show you what to do. Hi, I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad you're here. Come on in, and we'll get started. Trusting God's plan isn't the easiest thing to do because you just don't know what he's got up his sleeve. He's got a whole big plan, but since we don't know what it is, sometimes we get afraid or doubt he knows what he's doing. Remember, even if you don't know what's next, you can trust God no matter what. After all, he loves you and knows everything, so you never need to doubt he's got good things planned for you. Psalm 31 says, "How great is your goodness, which you have prepared for those who trust in you." Our story today is called A Good Recipe. "I think we made a big mistake coming here," Kate told her dad. "Everything's so different. Are you sure we shouldn't have stayed where we were?" Dad smiled. "I'm sure," he said. After praying a lot about it, Mom and I both sensed it was time to move on to a new ministry. We asked God to show us where we should serve him, and he showed us the need in this town. "Well, I'm not sure I'll ever get used to it," said Kate. "I know you say God never makes any mistakes, but it still seems like a bigger town would be better. There'd be more people for you to reach and more stuff for me to do." "Mail call." Kate's mother walked into the room and handed several envelopes to Dad. She smiled at Kate. "Why don't you and I bake something this afternoon?" she said. "What sounds good?" "Cookies," replied Kate. "Let's try that new recipe Grandma sent us. She says they're really good." "Hold on a minute, Kate," said Dad. "Are you sure you want to make those? Why don't you look for a recipe online first? You might find one you like better." Kate frowned. "I'm sure I could find some good ones, but Grandma already tried the recipe she gave us, and she says it's good." "And you trust her judgment?" Dad asked. Kate gave her a puzzled look. "Of course I do." "I see. Well, do you think Grandma is more trustworthy than God is?" Dad asked. Seeing Kate's confusion, he continued, "Would God guide us to a new ministry if he didn't know what is best for us and would work out for his glory?" "Oh," said Kate at last, "you're saying if I can trust Grandma to send us a good recipe, I can trust God to send us to the right town." Dad nodded. "Jesus saved us and promises to work everything in our lives out for good. We can trust him more than anybody." "Even if it means living in this town," Kate said with a sigh, "I guess it's God's recipe for us right now. But can we please go try Grandma's recipe too?" Smiling, Mom agreed. So how about you? Do you trust God even when things aren't the way you wish they were? He loves you and wants the best for you and for all his children. Think about all the blessings he's given you, including the gift of his son, Jesus. And then trust him with your future, even during times when things aren't going the way you'd like. Our key verse is Psalm 31:19.
"How great is your goodness, which you have prepared for those who trust in you."
And our key thought, God can be trusted.
Hey, Zach. What happens when you trust Jesus as your Savior, but don't trust him fully?
Hi, Nora. If you don't feel like you can trust Jesus fully yet, I suggest you pray to God and ask him to help you have the faith you need to trust Jesus more. I would also suggest that you speak with a trusted adult about what it means to follow Jesus. You could talk to your parents, a Sunday school teacher, or even a pastor at your church. Well, I hope that helps. I'll be praying for you to fully believe in Jesus, too. As always, my name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Here's Wednesday's Daily Devotional.
My little puppy was so scared until I held him. I think he liked that, and he calmed down.
Your dog trusted you to stay with him, and you can trust Jesus to stay right by your side, too. You're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Do you get worried sometimes when you have to go somewhere by yourself, like to a new school or to the doctor's office? One thing that always helps me is to remember that no matter where I go, Jesus is always right by my side. Even though I can't see him, I know he's there because he promised to never leave me. Just take a listen to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Our story today is called Holding Hammy. Nia's mom was finally letting her get a dog. She was so excited, even though she knew her mom was only letting her get the dog because Nia was sick. But she was still happy to get a pet. On the way home from picking out the little beagle that she had named Hammy, Nia frowned. The dog sounded almost like he was crying. Hold him, Mom said. See if that makes him feel better. Nia picked up the little puppy and held him close. It's okay, Hammy. Right away, the dog calmed down. As Nia walked into the hospital the next day for surgery, she nervously looked up at her mom. I don't want to go back there alone, Mom. I'm scared. Mom looked down at her with sad eyes. I know it's scary, sweetie. Please come with me, Nia said. Mom shook her head. I can't. Nia's eyes filled with tears. I'm scared, Mom. I know. Mom tugged her over to a bench in the hospital hallway. She sat down and ran her fingers through Nia's hair. Remember how things were in the car yesterday? Remember how Hammy was whining because he was scared? Nia nodded. Think of God holding you like that. Mom put an arm around Nia's shoulders. I can't go back with you when you go into the operating room to have your surgery, but God can. Jesus is always with you because you trust in him. He'll never leave you. Nia stared down at the floor. It wasn't the same. Her mom pushed to her feet and took hold of her hand. Let's go get you checked in. But Nia didn't want to go, but she walked with her mom anyway. Soon it was time for her to leave her mom and go back for her surgery. With tears flooding her eyes, she thought of Hammy. She closed her eyes as she lay on the bed without her mom, and she imagined her dog snuggling against her chest. Nia drew in a breath. Jesus is always with me, she whispered. When I'm scared, he is holding me, just like I held Hammy. So how about you? Do you ever have times when you're scared or feel alone? Maybe when you're at the doctor's office or heading to a new school? Did you know that God is always with you, even in those times? Jesus promises never to leave you. He'll help you through every tough situation you face. And even though you feel scared, remember that God is holding you. Trust him to take care of you. Our key verse is Isaiah 41:13.
For I'm the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you.
And our key thought today, let God hold you. I'm Zach. Thanks for joining me today on Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I can't believe the Martins got robbed. What if the robber breaks into our house when I'm home alone?
You don't have to be afraid. Remember, Jesus is always with you. Welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach, and I'm glad that you're here. I remember when I was about 12 years old, I stayed home by myself while my family went shopping. It was a dark, stormy night, and it rained and thundered really, really hard. And I got so scared that I had trouble sleeping for a few weeks. Being alone can seem frightening when scary things happen around you. But the good news is, as a Christian, you're never alone. Jesus is always with you. Now, bad things will still happen, but you don't need to be afraid of them because of what Deuteronomy 31:6 says. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Our story today is called Never Alone. Ivy looked out the window at her neighbor's house across the street. Their window was still broken from the break-in the day before. Shattered glass littered the porch. The burglar stole all the Martin's jewelry plus a few electronics. The police still hadn't caught him. What if the burglar came back to the neighborhood? What if he broke into her house? Ivy trembled thinking about it. "Are you cold?" asked a voice behind her. Ivy jumped, then saw it was her big sister Rose. She breathed a sigh of relief. "I'm not cold," she said. "Then why are you shaking?" asked Rose. She peeked out Ivy's window. "Are you still worried about what happened to the Martins?" Ivy bit her lip and nodded. "I'm scared to be home alone after school. What if the robber breaks into our house next time?" Rose sank onto Ivy's bed. "You're not scared when Dad's here, are you?" "No, I feel safe when Dad's around," Ivy replied, joining her sister on the bed. "Why?" "Because I know that he loves me and will protect me," answered Ivy. "Of course. Dads love their kids very much and will do anything to keep them from harm," said Rose. "But we have a greater and more powerful father than Dad." "We do?" Ivy wrinkled her brow. "Yes, the Bible tells us that because we trust in Jesus, God is our heavenly Father. He loves you so much, more than Dad ever could. He's so much more powerful than Dad ever will be." Rose leaned closer to her little sister. "And he is always with you, even when Dad isn't." "So when I'm home alone, I'm not really alone?" asked Ivy. "Exactly. We don't have to be afraid because God is always with us. That doesn't mean bad things won't ever happen, but we don't need to live in fear because we're his children and he's always watching over us." Rose gave her sister a hug. "He promises to take care of us no matter what happens." Ivy smiled. "Then I guess I won't mind staying home alone so much." "Good," said Rose. "When you feel afraid, remember you're never alone. God is always with you." So how about you? Do you ever feel afraid or alone? Whether you're scared of storms, snakes, or coming home to an empty house, remember that God is always with you. He loves you and will never leave you to face anything on your own. Even when bad or scary things happen, he promises to be with you and to help you through them. So don't be afraid. Trust God to take care of you. Our key verse is Deuteronomy 31:6.
The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
And our key thought, God is always with you. Well, I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
Ants were called to gather food for the winter. They make the most of every opportunity. I want to walk like they do.
They're a good example for us no matter what our job is, especially when we work for Jesus. My name is Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. Do you know what Christianese is? That's what we call words or phrases that pretty much only Christians use. Things like doing life together, or sin, or transgression, or even old-timey Christianese words like sluggard. That's a lazy person who doesn't want to work hard. God doesn't want you to be a sluggard. He gave us an example to follow in Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." Let's learn more about those special ants in our story today called Look to the Ants. "What's the matter, sis? Ants in your pants?" Daniel asked with a grin. At their campsite, Liz had stepped in the middle of an anthill and was frantically brushing the little creatures off. "It's not funny, Daniel," Liz said as her mom helped her finish brushing the ants away. Soon, Liz and Mom went into the trailer, but Daniel and Dad continued to watch the ants. "An ant nest is like a little city where hundreds or even thousands of ants live," said Dad. "Look, some of them are carrying leaves," Daniel pointed at the busy anthill. "They're moving twigs and other stuff, too," he grinned. "They're hard at work. Do they have a boss like you do at your office?" "No, they don't need a boss," Dad replied. "They just make the most of every opportunity to gather food before winter. They're a good example for us." Daniel laughed. "So we should get busy and gather food for the winter, too?" "Not exactly," Dad said with a smile. "But like the ants, we should be hard workers. When we work hard at the task God has given us to do, he uses our work to point people to Jesus and bring him glory. Jesus was a hard worker too, you know. He did the hardest work of all, dying on the cross for our sins." Dad paused, then asked, "What's the opposite of a hard worker, Daniel?" "A lazy person," Daniel suggested. "Right. The Bible calls someone who avoids work a sluggard. I'd hate to hear someone use that word to describe me." "Yeah, so I guess I should get busy and gather firewood then," Daniel said as he headed into the woods. "Maybe you should get busy and help me, don't you think, Dad?" Laughing, Dad followed. "Sure, I can help you with your job. After all, Jesus wants us to work together and help one another." After gathering some wood, Daniel asked, "It's okay to rest and have fun, though, right?" "Of course," Dad said. "Those are important parts of life, too." "Good," Daniel grinned, "because I think it would be fun to race you back to camp." Dad took off toward the trailer. "I'll rest while I wait for you to get there." So how about you? Do you glorify Jesus through your work? When you study for a test, clean your room, and help with tasks around the house or at school or church, do you do it with a good attitude? Whether it's homework, chores, or watching your younger siblings, God has provided you with certain jobs to do so you can bring him glory and show others his love. Do all your work for him. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 23.
"Whatever you do, do it from the heart, as something done for the Lord, and not for people."
And our key thought, work faithfully for Jesus. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Yeah.
Did you have fun listening to our program today? I hope that you read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings. Pray to Jesus and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye-bye.